Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Cause of Christ. Did it make you wonder if he had learned the lesson Paul taught the church at Corinth? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. In Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, he expressed gratitude for having been called of God to preach the New Testament plan of salvation. As a gospel preacher, he had renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He was not walking in craftiness. He was not handling the Word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, he was commending himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul recognized that the gospel he preached was hidden to those who were perishing, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who did not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:1-4. Though Paul was the greatest missionary of all time, he never boasted of his accomplishments, of his knowledge, and of his influence. He never preached Paul. He told the Corinthians very plainly, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." 2 Corinthians 4:5. Two questions will occupy our time today. What does preaching self mean? What does preaching Christ Jesus as Lord mean? Bible answers to these questions should go a long way in resolving some of the conflicts which have arisen in religion. I invite you to listen carefully to our discussion of preaching ourselves. The Greek word rendered preach is keruso. In the King James Version, the Greek is always translated either preach or proclaim or publish. The word could be translated herald. In ancient times, the herald was the one who spoke for another. He had no authority on his own, but delivered the message he was sent to proclaim. He could not alter the message in any way. He had no power to negotiate with the ones who received the message. Paul was a herald for Jesus Christ, not for himself. Paul affirmed that he was not preaching himself. And what does it mean to preach oneself? I do not know specifically what Paul had in mind, but let me challenge your thinking on that question. When a preacher constantly boasts of his academic achievements, do you get the impression he is preaching himself, not Christ Jesus the Lord? Please understand that I am not downgrading a good education. In fact, I have encouraged young preachers to get as much education as they can handle. If preachers are mature and humble, they should be able to earn graduate degrees without its going to their heads. Some of the humblest and most effective preachers I have ever known had doctorates in various fields, but they did not take great pride in their accomplishments. They used their advanced education to learn as much as possible about the Bible and to proclaim it in such a way as to instruct, to encourage, to warn, and to edify. Such a preacher becomes a blessing to the people with whom he works. As you know from reading the Bible lays great stress on knowledge. Solomon wrote about 3,000 years ago, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 1:7. "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Proverbs 23:23. Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Knowledge of God's will is essential to our spiritual growth, but knowledge alone puffs up. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Jesus put all of this in the right light when he said after the foot washing episode, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." John 13:17. A man preaches himself when he elevates his own opinions in the law. How very easy it is to do that if one is not careful. Where God has not spoken on a topic, or where the Bible does not reveal all we might like to know, there is always the temptation to fill in with our own opinions and make them binding on the church. The churches at Rome and at Corinth had problems with preachers and other Christians who were making laws where God had not made any. There were teachers at Rome who forbade the eating of meat. They believed it inappropriate for God's children to eat the flesh of animals. Paul wrote, "Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who eats not judge him who eats, for God has received him." Romans 14:3. Paul commanded the Romans, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." Romans 14:19. The Corinthian Christians had been converted to Christ from a background of heathenism. They had served a variety of pagan gods, such as Asclepius, Aphrodite, Apollo, and others. They had eaten meat as acts of worship to their false gods. When they became Christians, they were concerned as to whether or not they could eat meat which had been offered in sacrifice to idols. Paul told them very plainly that idols are nothing. They were permitted to eat meat which had been sacrificed to idols, provided they did not worship the idol, and they did not adversely influence those who were weak in the faith. 1 Corinthians 8. But nobody, preacher or elder or otherwise, has a right to bind his opinions and make them into law. Please listen to Paul's reasoning on the question before us. Meat commends us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them who are weak. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. 1 Corinthians 8:8-9-13. May I repeat what I said a moment ago? When we elevate our opinions above the Word of God, we are preaching ourselves, not Jesus Christ. We preach ourselves and not Christ Jesus the Lord when we sit in judgment on what God has revealed in His inspired Word. There are preachers of all religious groups who think they are wiser than those who wrote the Bible. I could give you a list of men who have decided that Peter and Paul and John did not know as much as they know about the will of God. Those modern preachers have criticized Paul for being prejudiced against the Jews. They have argued that the Bible teaches error in various ways. John Shelby Spong and similar liberal theologians not only criticized the Bible for its emphasis on the deity of Christ, the miracles of the Bible, our Lord's virgin birth, the resurrection, and the second coming, they also ridicule the Bible's moral values. Bishop Spong does not accept the Bible's teaching on premarital sex and homosexuality. He elevates his own opinions above the inspired Word of God. Tragically, all liberal theologians are guilty of preaching themselves, not Christ Jesus the Lord. There are many other ways by which a man preaches himself and not Christ Jesus the Lord. But what does it mean to preach Christ Jesus the Lord? Must we constantly announce in pulpits and on radio, Jesus Christ is the Lord? It is absolutely essential that we emphasize the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because the Bible does. Will you please think carefully about the following biblical passages? If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Romans 10, 9, 12, and 16. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. Colossians 3, 17. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 9-11. As important as it is to keep saying that Jesus is the Lord, that is not enough, as our Lord himself taught. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus declared, Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Matthew 7, 21-23. Immediately following these verses, Jesus told of the wise man who built his house on the rock. He explained the meaning of building on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them is the wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. If we believe Jesus is the Lord, we are obligated to obey his will. Jesus asked in what is commonly called the Sermon on the Plain, Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say unto you? Luke 6, 46. If just calling Jesus Lord is not preaching Jesus Christ as Lord, what must we do to preach him as Lord? In a comprehensive sense, it means preaching the Word, the whole counsel of God, or, as the lawyers say, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Paul told the Ephesian elders, I kept back nothing which was profitable unto you, but have shown you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Acts 20, 20 and 21, 24 through 27. Is there any difference in substance among the terms Paul used of his preaching: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, preaching the kingdom of God, and the whole counsel of God. Do not all these terms refer to preaching Jesus Christ as Lord? According to Acts 8, the disciples who were scattered abroad surrounding the martyrdom of Stephen went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:4. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 8:5. And when they believed to Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8:12. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53:7-8, and preached unto the eunuch Jesus. Acts 8:35. What is the difference, or is there any difference, among the terms I have read to you from Acts 8? Preaching the word, preaching Christ, preaching the kingdom of God, the name of Christ, and baptism, and preaching Jesus. Do not all of these terms relate to preaching Christ Jesus as Lord? If not all of them do, which ones do not? Let me briefly outline some of the great truths of the gospel, which must be preached if we are to preach Jesus Christ the Lord. We should begin our preaching of Jesus the Lord by emphasizing His incarnation, that is, His becoming flesh. That is precisely how John begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:1-2, 14. Paul spoke very plainly on the same topic. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. How could we preach Jesus as Lord and never mention His coming to earth as a man and enduring all the hardships, temptations, and persecutions we have to experience? These words from the Hebrew writer are particularly appropriate at this time. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them who obey Him. Hebrews 5:8-9. As valuable as Christ becoming a man was, it was His death on the cross which sealed our pardon. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Romans 5:6-10. But what did the death of Christ accomplish on our behalf? Was it just a good example of a good man's dying for a worthy cause? It was much more than that, if we can trust the writings of the apostles and the very words of Jesus Christ Himself. The Apostle Peter explained the true significance of Christ's death on the cross. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who His own self bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2, 21-24. The same writer added, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." 1 Peter 3:18. The Hebrew writer taught the same truth. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them who look for him shall he appear the second time without sin to salvation. Hebrews 9:28. But of what value is a dead Savior? If Jesus did die for our sins and is still in an unmarked grave somewhere in the Middle East, how does his death benefit us? My friends, our Lord did die, but he is not dead. Paul insisted that he was marked out to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Romans 1:4. The same apostle wrote to the Corinthians about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as follows. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. If we are going to preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and not ourselves, we must present the Bible's teaching on the perfect life Jesus lived. I read to you a few minutes ago where Peter affirmed that Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Regardless of the anger and bitterness which were directed at him, he did not respond in kind. Instead, he committed himself to God Almighty who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2, 22-23. The Hebrew writer speaks of Christ as our great high priest, who has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. He charges God's children to hold fast their profession. "For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4:14-16. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only avoided sins like adultery, lying, stealing, murder, and such like, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. Few incidents in the life of Jesus Christ show his humility and kindness more than the foot washing episode. After Christ had washed his disciples' feet, he asked them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." John 13:12-17. Jesus Christ is the supreme example of meekness. "I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11:28. He is also our example in humility. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:8. He is our example in compassion. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 9:36. Christ is our example in his complete devotion to the will of God. He taught his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6:9. He himself prayed in Gethsemane, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Matthew 26:39. In no place in the Word of God is that truth expressed more simply and more powerfully than in John 8. "He who has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him." John 8:29. Our Lord's every waking moment was devoted to doing what his heavenly Father demanded of him. Can we truly preach Christ Jesus as Lord without emphasizing Christ's complete devotion to the will of God? Preaching Christ Jesus as Lord obligates us to preach the plan of salvation which he himself came to give unto fallen men. Our Lord was the one, according to the Hebrew writer, who began to speak the great salvation. He explained the gospel plan of salvation so simply and so forcefully, no one ought to misunderstand it. Please listen to what Jesus said in the Great Commission, according to Mark. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. My friend, do you have any difficulty in understanding this inspired passage? Who is the man or woman who will be saved? He who believes and is baptized. What about the person who does not believe? He will be condemned. Why did not our Lord say, "He who does not believe and is not baptized shall be condemned"? The Holy Spirit does not deal in illogical statements. If a man does not believe, he could not be baptized if he wanted to, and it would not do him any good if he were baptized. The truth of this passage and of many others should speak to the hearts of all who are outside of the Lord's kingdom. If you want to be saved from your alien sins, added to the Lord's church, and be on your way toward heaven, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you must be baptized in order to have the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Will you not, dear friend, obey the gospel today and enjoy the great and precious promises of the gospel? Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you.